Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, with us Fridays for the weekly update at JM in the AM. Mr. Honlein, welcome back to JM in the AM.
Thank you. It's good to be back. And I want to thank everybody who came to Washington yesterday for the Jewish Heritage, National Jewish Heritage Month celebration. And the honor I received was really beautiful with all the members of the Senate that came. And it gives you a little bit of an uplift that we still have a lot of support and a lot of friends. So when people feel down because of every day what's happening, including today with the revelation that three more bodies were found, it is a bright spot and sometimes a very dark week.
Was there any part, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but why not? You've been put on the spot enough times in your career. Any particular exchange with a member of the House or Senate that, you know, gave you the hope that you're describing, or that was very heartwarming in terms of their attitude, not only toward your work, but toward Israel in general?
Yeah, I think the reaffirmation by, I mean, there were maybe 15 senators who spoke, and members of Congress, leaders. I'm more optimistic that the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, because several senators who had expressed some reservation or hold agreed to release it. Now it's up to Senator Schumer to bring it to a vote, which we hope will be done soon. We need it. And the and overall on Israel, I saw Speaker Johnson last night announced that Netanyahu would come for a joint session. I don't know that Schumer signed off completely on it, but the speaker indicated that that was the case. And it got a very loud round of applause at the embassy's Salute to Israel anniversary event, which was not on Yom Ha'atzmaut, but postponed for a few days till last night. And a huge crowd was there. I think the mood was, you know, upbeat, though obviously people have grave reservations about everything that's happening and about the direction of U.S. policy. But last night, that was not in evidence.
And any idea? Yeah, I mean, I know that you said, you know, it's not official yet because others have to sign off on it. But it would be in the month of June, meaning Netanyahu's visit would be in the month of June or later during the summer. Do you have any idea yet when this might happen?
No indication, but Speaker Johnson has really pushed this. He gave a great speech last night on Israel, very reaffirming. And I think also Congressman Aguiar, who's a ranking Democrat, head of the House Democratic Caucus, also gave very impressive remarks. But there's no specificity yet. I think that Netanyahu has, you know, other responsibilities, so taking the time to come to America will depend upon developments there as well.
You mentioned the latest that the IDF has found another three bodies of hostages in Gaza, yet another reason to laud the Rafah operation, frankly. There are other reasons even aside from that, but the fact is that they're actually finding bodies, which is so key and so important to families. How we wish, of course, these people were alive, but everyone understands the sensitivity of the alternative. Is this something we have to get used to? Is this something that could happen now, you know, unfortunately very often, that there'll be more and more discoveries like this? I don't know what the timetable is and how long Israel's Defense Force plans on being in Rafah, but it does seem that that has been quite a destination in terms of numbers for hostages and those taken by the enemy on October the 7th.
I think it's something we have to anticipate. And I think that there's the sense from many of the officials that I've met with that, unfortunately, many of the hostages may not be alive. And while we have to be optimistic and keep pressing ahead, I think it's important to be realistic. And as you asked, unfortunately, I think a lot of families have had bad news. These people that were found today, the three, were killed on October 7th. They weren't killed subsequently.
And some of them were foreign nationals, correct? One had Mexican citizenship while also being a resident of France and, you know, and different backgrounds. So am I right? Is the Rafah operation, number one, a success so far? And secondly, are people like folks who lead us here in Washington ready to admit that it was not as impossible as they thought to actually protect the majority of civilians in the area as Israel carried out this operation?
I think you're raising an important point that gets lost in the media coverage. The media is so busy focusing on anything negative. They don't tell the truth about the delivery of aid. They don't tell the truth about the operation in Rafah is being done with such care. I think it's why the administration has been quieter about it, because this was the requirement. Nobody said they shouldn't do it. They said they should do it with limited danger. Many people, hundreds of thousands, were moved out. But if you see some of the pictures, you see how pinpoint the operations are in Rafah. You don't see widespread destruction of blocks on end, though they have to go, like everywhere else, door to door. They found 50 tunnels to Egypt.
Wow.
And 700 tunnels altogether with shafts. I mean, in a single place, you can have 20, 30 shafts that have to be destroyed individually, that have to be accessed, because also in case, as we know, one of the bodies are found in the tunnels. The scope of what needs to be done of the operation and what they're finding in terms of weaponry, just like in other places. And we know they move from one place to another. Some American spokesman, I think, introducing some skepticism by saying, well, you can't defeat them. They haven't killed the majority of the terrorists. They're destroying the infrastructure of the terror. It's true, they're not going to eliminate every Hamas member. But when you destroy the infrastructure and the ability to bring in weapons, the tunnels to Egypt, many of them, you could drive a bus through them. They're huge. And this is the same Egypt that hasn't let one Palestinian cross the border, have taken them in, and complains about Israel. In fact, said joining the ICJ case, the International Court of Justice case against Israel. And we understand all of the domestic and other pressures on President Sisi, et cetera. But, you know, the reality is that this is a battle for all of them. And Israel has made progress. They have hit some senior people, I think. Much more the goal of this is to take out the leadership as much as possible and the infrastructure.
All right, we'll get to the change in government and leadership in Iran in a moment. But Malcolm, if you would, it is graduation season. I'm bringing it up really as a top story for us this morning, because we're at the height of having seen so many commencement addresses and so many commencement ceremonies interrupted by protesters, some with outrageous acts and chants, frankly. And I just want your opinion. I want your reaction to the members of the administration of these colleges and universities that allow all this to happen, and if they would go ahead, frankly, the protesters, and condemn others, not Jews in Israel, that I feel there likely would be a much stronger reaction and a much stronger effort to get these people off the campus than we've seen. What do you think?
You know, the Rohingya are suffering. There are a million of them probably in camp. They are being forcibly recruited by Chinese into fighting. They are forced to border against across the Uyghurs, and you see in Myanmar what they're doing to a Muslim population. If they cared really about Muslim populations, there are so many cases that they would be speaking about. Why aren't they bringing Assad to the International Criminal Court? It killed 600,000 people, dislocated the biggest large portion of his population. There's no seriousness in terms of the desire to really go after war criminals, but it is certainly a targeted attack on the Jewish state for defending itself. In any other place in these circumstances where an attack of that size would have prompted an all-out attack in response, Israel has still been guarded in its response. And yet, all we hear are the condemnations. And I think that the price for what we see now on the campuses is not something that's going to go away with summer vacation, because they are organizing for the fall. They will take on other issues, because the goal is not just Israel. It's to bring down American society. And that's why the revelations that the Chinese are behind, the Chinese government, the CCP, is likely behind payments for, and funding of these demonstrations, as has Qatar been for a long time, investing billions of dollars in our campuses, distorting the coursework, the appointments of professors, extending their influence within those campuses, the backing for BDS and other movements, and the failure on the part of the administrations. And again, we saw the testimony of the president of Northwestern, inability to confront this thing honestly and forthrightly. It tells us that this is going to be an ongoing issue and why we have to mobilize and we have to make our voices heard. We have to counter the voice. What I saw in Congress this week is that they are upset. They want to hear from the people. They obviously are against this, and they have to be bold. That's why passing the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, the Student Protection Act, all these things are vital to give the tools to law enforcement, to Congress and others to hold to account the people. But we know that the organizing is going on, that still a very significant part of those involved are not students. You see it from the arrest, but just look at the pictures and see the ages and things. And other than faculty, you see there are a lot of outside agitators who are involved in this. It's something that should be taken with a great deal of seriousness. Many kids are leaving their campuses, are not going back because they find it so hostile. And if you know people, kids, young people who have been on these campuses, ask them about it. Talk to them about it. First of all, reassure them and let them know the community is working all the time on this. We are pressing the Department of Education on the state and federal levels. But it is only, I think, the opening salvos in a much more fundamental war against American society, American values, Western democracy. And Israel is always the canary in the mine. While we're the first victims, we're never the last.
And I just get the feeling now, I don't know what I thought a month ago, but I get the feeling now that the vast, vast, vast majority of students, I'm hoping even faculty on these campuses, at the minimum, do not want these type of activities on their campus. I really do believe that the majority of them are, you know, are sympathetic toward Israel. Again, you know, sometimes a hard case to make when the media focuses on the other side. But I think that, and so it's not just that they're allowing this to happen and not taking the action that, you know, that we might want them to take against these protesters. They're ruining their own college campuses. I get it that there's financial interest on the other side, and therefore they feel they have to be a lot more patient and understanding with the protesters. I get it. You've explained that to us many times. But in terms of the long run, in terms of the big picture, they are destroying their own college campuses.
It is true, and many didn't have their graduations, which does not upset me. What's much more fundamental is that you see the nature of the education they got in the 4 years they were on campus. You see the intimidation that, and as you know, we've talked about this now for several years. I warned about a lot of what's going on the campuses. We saw the signs of it. We saw the influx of foreign funding, but we weren't able until NCRI came up with these studies and showed documenting through using the internet and all sorts of research capacities to really document the extent of the foreign influence and the what this means for American society. Listen to what the people, many professors and others who are speaking at the rallies actually say. And the fact that faculty have supported the encampments to go to teach at the encampments, have themselves been involved in blocking entry. To think of the minds of these people who have been poisoned for many years now. And that's why when they comes time to vote, when it comes time to express their views, hopefully with time they mature and they see the truth, especially in the Middle East, where it isn't, there aren't 20 truths in the situation. Yeah. They're true. There's multiple facts and things that people have to know. But I think that we need, as people have said, a denazification program in Germany to extract the aftermath of World War II, the Nazi virus that was in there, the woke culture that has so infiltrated our campus is not just going to go away.
Yeah.
And especially when they do it to high school kids and elementary school kids.
And when I've pointed out in the last 24 hours this opinion of mine, that the majority are pro-Israel, or at least sympathetic to Israel, so then someone says to me, Ed, did you see the ovation that that potential valedictorian got, or valedictorian got on the campus? Where was it? I think USC, maybe. I don't remember what campus was on. She was supposed to speak, and of course, because of her views, they eliminated that portion of the program, and then she ends up getting a massive ovation, many minutes long, from her fellow students, I guess in sympathy to her. So I really don't know what the numbers are. I don't know if I'm right that it's overwhelming, that if you would ask them, you know, the silent majority would in fact be a majority. I don't know. But
the polls we still receive, Nahum, are encouraging. It shows the vast majority of American people stand with Israel, even those in the 18 to 25. It's less than amongst older adults. It is true that many of them have been poisoned. And when I hear heard the ovation, you know, it's against authority. It's a statement that doesn't necessarily endorse.
Right. Half the people don't know why they're clapping, right? That's true. And I wonder what their parents think. I'll tell you, I wonder what the good old American parents from around this country think as they see their children applauding in a scene like that. It's America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listeners-sponsored digital radio around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com and the Nahum Siegel Network, and of course, and the beloved NSN app. All right. A lot to do in regard to what happened in Iran. So number one, you know, look, we're faith-based people. When weather controls an accident, obviously we assume that God wanted things to go in a certain direction. Now Raisi is gone and his foreign minister is gone. And I'd love for you to address this, you know, change in government in Iran. Also, if you could, Malcolm, in your answer, if you could address the United Nations with a moment of silence, a half-staff UN flags. If you, was it UN? I don't remember where it was. If you could address that. And also, what began as a rumor, or at least seemed like a rumor, and then I think it's fact, you'll tell us it's fact or not, the situation with a young Jew in Iran who was slated for execution last weekend.
Okay, so you're asking very curious because this was a momentous week for Iran with the death of the president and you might say the murder of the president. There's a lot of evidence questions being raised that this was not accidental, although they were in helicopters that are old and they don't have the spare parts and they there were several flying together, only this one crashed. And the president, foreign minister, and others were killed. I don't think they're going to see God in the aftermath of this. I think there's other places they will be going. He was the butcher of Tehran, which goes to the second part of your question.
Right.
He was a guy who was known as a hanging judge. He was responsible for thousands of executions, they say. That, and certainly in the term that he was president in the last year and plus, it's, I think almost 800 people were executed. And these include children, young people, include women, include others. He was one of those who forced the hijab laws. And he was a vicious guy who was running to become supreme leader. He was considered one of the two candidates. Mukhtaba, the son of the supreme leader, is the other one, which is him as the sole candidate, which will open the field to others getting into it, I guess. But the fact that, he went on this mission was a perfect opportunity if somebody wanted to sabotage his return. But the disgraceful demonstrations, the fact that the chaplain of the United States Senate opened the session memorializing the butcher of Tehran.
Oh, my gosh.
This vicious guy who has done everything against America, responsible for the attacks, this call for the destruction of Israel. And under his leadership, we've seen the actions that were taken. And obviously, the supreme leader is the real key figure. The president is way secondary to him. But still, his views were well known. The UN Security Council opened its session with a moment of silence, and regrettably, the American ambassador stood up along with others for that. And we saw other manifestations, including lowering of flags, including other tributes to to this horrific person who's done so much damage. And you saw the size of his funeral, but Iranians were given free buses and things to take them to the funeral. And at the same time, we saw the reactions of fireworks going off in numerous places in Iran, that there were multiple demonstrations after the news spread that he had been his body was found and that they were all dead. So I think that's a more of a reflection of the people's voice than the staged state funeral and other manifestations.
Well, what's the percentage? Is it a silenced majority or a silenced minority? What is
absolutely
it?
Absolutely, majority of the Iranian people do not want this government, an overwhelming majority, and they show it in public ways, not only when the women demonstrate with their clothing or throw off, you know, a burqa or do other things in public and challenge the Basij and the who are vicious enforcers, but the number of executions shows you how much resistance there may be, even though many of them are in fact innocent. Right. But this will lead to more turmoil. I don't think it'll mean external strikes. Remember that if this government could be changed in Iran, all the ring of resistance, a ring of fire around Israel, from the Houthis to the Hezbollah to the Hamas to the Palestinian Islamic Jihad resistance in Syria and Iraq, all of that will change. And the region could change. But we have to do much more, and the people are constantly demonstrating their courage and readiness to act, and they get no support from the West, none. And all these courageous voices, Macron and Germany, telling how they would arrest Netanyahu, but they don't arrest these murderers and these people who are really guilty of war crimes and massacres. So it's a horrific perversion to see this, what goes on, and that he is lionized by anybody, or that they say, well, we're mourning with the people of Iran. The people of Iran, we're not mourning. Some people mourn, but the vast majority of them do not. And it highlights also the case that you mentioned of a young man who, resisting an attack with a knife by a Muslim, grabbed a knife and killed the Muslim, was killed in the fight. And he was arrested, and he's been sentenced to death. In under Islamic law, if the family of the deceased can petition to remove the sentence, he may have a short prison term or a prison term, but they can eliminate the death sentence. And the family was visited. They were offered compensation of building a mosque in his memory and a school in his memory and other things. And the family rejected it outright and threw the delegation out. They went back again. The second time, they were a little bit less resistant, but the mother didn't want to hear it. They want this young man killed. It was supposedly put off for a month. Now we're told more recently that it may not be put off beyond Sunday or Monday. So everybody's working feverishly. The problem is that you have very few levers of influence on the government of Iran, and therefore have to exercise every opportunity. That's why it's not been publicly pursued so much publicly, in the hope that a resolution could be forthcoming and the government would accept it if the family accepted it. And then, you know, once he gets a prison term, it's easier to negotiate to get him out later.
There are people who dress like Orthodox Jews who are friendly with Iranian authorities. Could they be helpful in this case?
They have been involved.
Interesting. So they actually have a little bit of leverage or more with the government?
Real leverage would be off the hook.
Wow, interesting.
For the execution, I mean.
Israel has recalled the Ireland, Norway, and Spain envoys over the recognition of a Palestinian state. Okay, you explained this to us before, but obviously now it's a very current news story, and maybe other countries are going to follow. What has Ireland, Norway, and Spain done this week, and what does it mean practically?
What they've done is commit suicide when you start taking actions like this. It shows that they have no values, that they undermine the international system. There's no legitimacy to the recognition. Its practical implications are very limited as of now. I think more countries will join, but the United States has strongly opposed it, the action that was taken. Regrettably, many other countries have not, and I think that they will regret it in the future. This further undermines the international system. When you see the perversions in The Hague and at the International Court and at the International Court of Justice, I think this just pounds it. The recognition and rewarding Hamas and the terrorists for October 7th. This is a reward. And what you're telling, send the message you're sending to all of the places where fights are going on, and you don't hear, I don't know why the International Court and all of the criminal court and the ICJ and all of them not calling for Darfur, where millions are facing starvation and even genocide, according to the UN. Yet we don't see the kind of reaction or interventions that and in many other places, which I cited before. So it's just a complete perversion, which will, again, undermine the rule of law and the values that we're supposed to stand by. And to reward Hamas, to show that the way of terrorism yields results, is the worst possible message you can send.
What lesson, well, the New York Times tells us what lesson the United States military is learning, what reality they're facing in Gaza as they continue to try their aid project to Gaza, and it doesn't seem to be going well. Some reports say that aid that's arrived on the pier, that none of it has gotten to the people yet. What update do you have on that?
None of it has gotten to the people. 70% of it has been stolen by the modest...
Wow.
Estimates, but it's not being delivered to the people, and it tells them that all those who criticized Israel, you know, and approached this with the simplicity of saying that, well, you know, we can, Israel's blocking it. Israel's not blocking it. There are people in Israel who blocked, who've interrupted or tried to block some of the flow of trucks. But remember that that Hamas again this week fired rockets at Keren Shalom, at the crossing points, and harassed the people there. They fired weapons at the pier, and so the trucks are sitting there because there's no distribution. And in the meantime, Hamas operatives come in there and others, and they steal the stuff, which is exactly what happens to it when it goes into the country. As Dermer and others have pointed out, there is no real starvation. Are there areas that are lacking food? Yes, because they steal it and because they sell it then on the markets. But if you go to the markets, it's plenty of food, a lot of it with the markings of international aid organizations. So I think it highlights the hypocrisy, the idiocy of the people we're dealing with, that they, you know, just condemn Israel. And rather than looking at the reality on the ground, when people don't want to drive the trucks in, when people don't want to risk their lives, and you have international agencies assisting and Israel taking on the responsibility to provide security at the piers, and then inside Gaza, others have to take that responsibility. But you don't see that interpretation and that reaction to the facts on the ground.
Well, it's been announced now that there'll be at least two presidential debates between now and the November election. Do you think that Israel will still be a major topic in these debates, and that people will be seeking out the policy differences between the two candidates?
Absolutely, for good and for bad, that Israel will still be a subject of debate. Because, you know, there are marked differences in approaches, and there will be, and while there is consistency of commitment to Israel's right to exist, Israel's freedom, the aid to Israel, the arms do continue to flow, even though there are still restrictions on the 502,000 pound arms. But clearly there are differences, and I believe it's one of the issues international issues that will be debated. But I think the majority of the focus will be the domestic agenda.
Yeah, I would hope so. I'm not so sure, but I would hope so. And finally, is there a an indication about the strength that's behind the, I guess they're now weekly, I mean, I'm not there, but you certainly know better than I do. Is it weekly demonstrations in Israel against Netanyahu? I mean, does it have the same type of strength that the ones before October the 7th had? And, you know, are they making an impact right now in Israeli society?
I think the answer is yes to all your questions. They are continuing. Some of them are growing bigger. The anti-Netanyahu movement is certainly growing stronger, and it enjoys a lot of international support. And someday we'll have an investigation of the funding of all demonstrations and who was involved, et cetera. But there is a growing sentiment. It's even true on the right in some places. There's very little light for him now. The invitation to come and address the joint session, he might see that as a lifeline to be able to put forward his case to the international community. There are many who will think it's not the right time to do it. We'll have to see how that develops. But the opposition to Netanyahu within his own party, outside, and the stimulation of the populace, even though the polls show he's still... Now the latest one shows he comes in second to Gantz, but only by a little bit, and that Likud in other polls is still number one, but it comes in the 30s in number of seats. Nobody, anything today would require a big coalition to be able to get a majority in the Knesset. So I think an election now might be just lead to more instability and more questions. But the defections, the fact that Gallant made a speech against him and Gantz has given him a deadline, certainly puts the pressure on for some negotiations and some resolution that and coming up with a plan. Because if you look at the points that Gantz put forward, most of those are consistent with what Netanyahu has said. And the American government keeps pressing and saying that they don't have a plan for the day after. Well, it's hard to give a plan for the day after if you don't know what's going to happen the day before and how this thing will play out. And he's diverted on all these other issues. The ICC, I know, is a big issue for him and for the government. It limits his travel. He can't go to an ICC country if they, in fact, approve the warrants. And you heard that Germany and you saw that France and said that if in fact they issue warrants, if he comes there, they will arrest him. That is so outrageous and such a perversion that people are, and this all puts additional pressure on him and on his government.
Unbelievable. I'll tell you, it's so outrageous. It's incredible. All right, next week, I'm in Israel. 2 weeks from today, please, God, after Yom Yerushalayim, we'll reconvene and do a weekly update. Malcolm, thank you so much for your insight. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and we will speak in 2 weeks.
A safe trip to you and a good Shabbos to everyone.
Thank
and
you.
Act. Everybody act. Get on the internet and respond. Support our friends and let our enemies know where we stand. They need to hear from us.
That is an understatement. And thank you for that. Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Weekly update Fridays, 7:40 a.m. Eastern Time here at JM in the AM.